pray. Father God, You are Lord over all the universe. You have created all things. You sustain all things. Breath itself is from You. Every blade of grass, every galaxy is from Your hand, O Lord God. You spoke and all came to being. And when we rebelled against You, You didn't cast us out. You sent Your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in our place so that all who believe in You are born again, are saved, are adopted into Your family forevermore. Almighty God, thank You. Thank You for Your great, great love and Your mercy and compassion, that You know that we are dust. You know that we are broken vessels, Lord God, weak. But You are strong, Lord God. You know that to the appearance of the world we are small, but in You, O Lord God, there is no such thing as small. I thank You, Father, for Your church. I thank You for Your people who call upon Your name and who love You and who love one another, O God. We thank You, Lord, that we can gather this morning and that You have called us to gather this morning to worship You. To worship You together, Father. I thank You. I thank You for all that You have provided for us, Lord. I ask now as we open Your Word that You, O God, would speak to us through Your Holy Spirit. That You would do Your wonderful work of shaping our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies even, Lord, into the image of our glorious Savior, Jesus. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, as you know, I significantly preach through books or through large sections of Scripture. It's how I was taught in seminary. And, you know, so that's just sort of become my philosophy of preaching. And one of the things that I love about that, well, there's many things. You know, one is you don't have to kind of come up every week and say, well, what should we preach on this week? And what should we preach on next week? It's we're just, the Lord is providing the text for us. The Lord is providing what we will be looking at, what He will be teaching us through His Scripture as we go passage by passage. Another thing that is wonderful is that the Lord so often brings up things and has the passages coincide with things that are going on in either my life or some of your lives, or even at its peak, what I love, in the life of us as a congregation. And that's happened today. And it's really, really cool. So as you know, we've been preaching through the book of Exodus. Paused in the middle of August a little bit as I was away and dear brother Michael preached. Then we had to pause again a few weeks ago as our family and I were changing locations for housing and all that stuff. And we weren't able to be here, and that was sort of a last-minute thing, and Michael preached. And this is not our planning, this is the Lord. We come to a passage this morning that has to do with God calling His people to provide for the building of His house. And we're having a congregational meeting afterwards to deal with the fact that we have a part of the Lord's property here that needs upkeep and needs repairs. And so I just want to say, especially if you're visiting, this is in no way like planned to coincide together. This is just the Lord as He's brought it. And it's a glorious passage. It's one that just sees the heart of God's people at its truest. And I just want to say, looking at the heart of God's people in this passage at its truest, it so reminds me of you all. I thank God for you all. You are so faithful to the Lord. I know that we are small in numbers, but you're giving both of your finances and your time and your gifts and your love. You are a special group of followers of Jesus, and you really, really just you warm my heart as I just reflect on you and think about you. And really, when I see God's people in this passage, I hope you'll see yourselves, because I do. I do. So open your books, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 35. We're getting towards the end of Exodus. That's pretty cool. I mean, I'll miss Exodus, but I mean, I know we're kind of in the part where we're, you know, talking about different colored yarn can get, you know, in chapter after chapter, it can get a little tough. But it's been wonderful to see the hand of the Lord, the faithfulness of God. Why? Because He loves His people. He loves you. He loves His people. Exodus chapter 35, beginning in verse 4, and we'll go through verse 29. Moses has been up on the mountain getting the second set of stone tablets after the first had been broken. The first ones broke because when Moses came down from the mountain, the people had taken their gold, thrown it into a fire, and as Aaron says, out jumped this golden calf, and we decide, let's worship it. And the Lord, it was just in opposition to the Lord, completely. So instead of destroying the people, God in His mercy, there was judgment, but He claims them back as His own. And Moses goes back and spends time with God again, and God gives him new tablets with the same laws, the same Ten Commandments written on them. Moses comes down from being with God, and what? His face is radiant because he has been with the Lord. And this is what he says to them. Verse 4, Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. The onyx stones and other gems are to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle with its tent and its covering, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and bases. The ark with its poles and the atonement cover and the curtains that shield it. The table with its poles and all the articles and the bread of the presence. The lampstand that is for light with its accessories. Lamps and oil for the light. The altar of incense with its poles. The anointing oil and the fragrant incense. The curtain for the doorway at the entrance to the tabernacle. The altar of burning offering, of burnt offering with its bronze grating. Its poles and all its utensils. The bronze basin with its stand. The curtains of the courtyard with its posts and bases. The curtain for the entrance to the courtyard. The tent pegs for the tabernacle and for the courtyard and their ropes. The woven garments worn for ministering in the sanctuary. Both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests. Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins dyed red, or hides of sea cows, brought them. those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun. Blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. This is God's Word. And we see in this passage here that the people following God's call are making an offering to the Lord. Making an offering. And the offering is to build God's house. Now, God is everywhere. God doesn't just dwell in a house. But for Israel's purpose, He caused His presence to dwell in a very special way within the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, which, as we've talked about, has the imagery and is supposed to, intended to be symbolic of the Garden of Eden. We have the Garden of Eden, which pictures God's temple, and the tabernacle, which pictures God's temple, the place where a God dwells, God's presence dwells, which is then mirrored also in the same symbolism in the temple that King Solomon builds, which then also has the same imagery, as we see in the book of Revelation, for heaven. Those four locations all share symbolically as the place where God dwells in a very special way. Again, He dwells over all the earth. He dwells with us right here, right now. But God called His people to make a special place for His presence to dwell and for them to worship Him. And now where we worship not in a location but in spirit and truth because of Jesus Christ, He still has enabled us, and throughout the church history really, enabled us to worship in special places, whether it's in a school or in a home or in a building. There are places that God's people gather to pray and to worship Him and to dedicate to Him as sacred. There's nothing more sacred about this ground than the ground across the street or so. Jeff Snow will be happy to know that. You know, his house is just as holy also, right? Because the Lord is there as well. But as God's people, we come apart to say, we're dedicating this unto the Lord in a special way. Now, He calls His people to give. But what I love about this passage is the word willingly appears again and again and again in this passage. I should have counted. I think it's like five times the verb there, or the descriptor there, the adverb there, describing how they gave, the way in which they gave. They gave willingly. This was a free will offering. This was not a tithe. This was not saying, here's what you're required to give every whatever unto the Lord. This is saying, look, here's what God is doing. And if you want, and your hearts are so moved, give. If not, or you can't right now, great. And in fact, we see that some people gave, and they gave abundantly, but there were other things that people gave besides money, besides tangible resources. So first, in this passage where the people are called to make a free will offering to the Lord, we see that the people are called and the people respond and they give what they have in verses 4 through 9. Moses tells the people what God has said, and the people start and they bring their things. They bring gold. They bring silver. They bring bronze. They bring fine linen and fine yarn that they have. They bring leather and animal hides that are going to be used to build God's house. They bring wood that is going to be used to build God's house. Now, where did the people get this from? They're wandering around in the desert, right? And they're about to enter into an extended period of wandering, 40-year period. Well, do you remember what happened when God brought them out of Egypt? He plundered the Egyptians, not through war, but the Egyptians were so ready to be rid of the Israelites after the 10th plague. And God moved the Israelites' hearts. God moved the Egyptians' hearts. So that when the Israelites went up and went to knock on the door of the Egyptians and said, "Hi, I'm sorry about all the plagues. You should have followed God, but we're leaving now. Can we have all your gold and jewels?" And the Egyptians went, "You know, that makes sense. Sure, here you go." And as Israel left, they left with all of Egypt's treasure with them. Only imagine the Egyptians later going, what? What happened, right? The wife comes home, you know, from maybe a day of working or shopping, and she comes into her husband and says, "Oh, so how was your day?" She says, "Well, you know, our neighbor came over and I just gave him all her gold." "You did what?" But God predisposed the hearts of the Egyptians so that when Israel left, they left with wealth. They left with herds. They left with all these possessions. And so now they have those to give to the Lord. But this isn't the first capital campaign that Israel has experienced. This isn't the first, let's raise some funds for the house of the Lord or for the Lord. This is really the second time. The first time didn't go so well. And we referenced it just a moment ago. The first time when Moses was up receiving the Ten Commandments from the Lord, the people got worried that Moses had been gone so long and they wanted something they could touch. They wanted a God they could look at and they could touch, which usually means it's a God that we want to be able to manipulate and control. And so they copied the gods. It was, we mentioned before when we looked at those passages, fertility gods of the pagan nations around them. And they built an idol, even though God said, "Don't build an idol. Worship me alone." And the people built an idol, and they worshipped it. And the way they built the idol is that they brought their gold. They made an offering. They gave up of their wealth to build a false god. But God, in His graciousness, says, "You have another chance." As we were talking about this passage yesterday, Michael called out and great observation. Look, even though they were so excited in their sinfulness to give their gold to make the false idol, to make the idol to a false god with the golden calf, God had so blessed them abundantly when they left Egypt that they still had so much more to give. And now, when the Lord has commanded it, they have abundantly to give to the Lord. And how do they give? What is the adjective to describe it? Adverb to describe it? Willingly. Their hearts were so engaged that there was a joy and a desire to give. And it's not in this passage. It will be, Lord willing, in next week's passage as we continue to go on the next half of the last half of chapter 35 and into chapter 36, there, the people so willingly gave. Do you remember what happened? The leaders come to Moses and say, "We got a problem. We got too much gold. Tell the people to stop." And so Moses has to go to the people and say, "Stop giving, everyone. What are you doing? You're giving too much." That reminds me of you all. I remember when we first had to come forward, when we first found the problems with the stairs on the church and the chimney and the bathroom and the parsonage.
And we had to come and say, you know what, there are these three projects, there are safety hazards, and it was a scary number. It was $25,000 that needed to be raised. And that was very scary. Now, little did we know that that was a foretaste. That was Sunday. By Friday, you all had donated over $35,000. And so Sunday we had to come and say, stop! You are generous, generous people. And you remind me of the willingness that God's people gave here too. And it's beautiful. You all are beautiful. And we see this here. The willingness here is not because there was some great marketing campaign or some great twisting of the people's emotions or anything like that, or any kind of great threats, if you don't give, you will be judged. It's because they love the Lord. It's because they love the Lord. They gave of what they had, verses 4 through 9. But there are some, maybe who didn't have any or have significant financial funds to be able to give. So there are some in verses 10 through 19 who give of their gifts and their talents that they have. Verses 10 through 19 here. So all who are skilled among you come and make everything the Lord commanded. So you have skilled workers who come and they fashion the wood and they cast the gold. And you have skilled workers who come and use their talents for making linen and making fine tapestries. Beautiful artwork, and as we'll see next week, God created and loves art of all kinds. It is His. The arts are God's, and He made them in a special way, I contend, to bless us and for us to be able to worship Him and for our hearts to be awakened, whether it's in music, whether it's in painting, sculpture, drama, whatever, the arts. And God had gifted certain people here, and we'll see two very special people next week who get called out for their, that God had created them and gifted them and called them for this very special project. But there are many who come and use their gifts and their talents, and maybe some of them had also given financially, maybe some of them weren't able to, or this is how they gave to the Lord, and it was worship to the Lord. It doesn't say it explicitly, so careful. I'm going outside the text. This is speculation, not the text. But because these people were giving willingly, imagining as they're spinning the purple yarn, which is very expensive, very costly, is there joy? This is unto the Lord. I'm doing this unto the Lord. Because it was willing, there wasn't this, I can't believe I've got to give all this away. No. There was a, wow, we get to give unto the Lord and do it unto the Lord, right? This willingly using all the gifts. They would bring their all of their things that they could make. They had to make make the ropes, the tent pegs. I love that he calls out the tent pegs. He gives them specifications for how to make the tent pegs. No little detail is overlooked. Right? I won't go into camping analogies. Never mind. But God is specific in everything else. And so these people who God has gifted and are talented in many ways, they come and they give of their talents. They give of their time. This reminds me of you all also. So many of you are giving so much of your time to serving in Sunday school, to serving on a position within the deacons and deaconesses within the congregations, elders within the congregation. So many of you are giving of your time to help with mowing the lawn and you know, John and Louise's grandson, Kyle, you know, he is mowing our lawn. He's doing an awesome job and he is giving. Here he is. He's 12 years old. And he, out of love for the Lord, comes here and mows the lawn. And you should see the pride on his face as he's doing this, as he's doing it unto the Lord. Right? Oh, what else I got? I could have bragged on him. Sorry. Also, one second. Sorry, it just touched my heart.
He was over at the parsonage with us, and he was with our boys, and I jumped around the trampoline. Thank you for the trampoline. On the trampoline, and I was talking about how the mold's in the house and all this stuff, and we're waiting for a report to come back from the mold testing, and I was just like, kind of my brain was in the dither. I don't know when it's coming back. I don't know what it's going to say. And I was saying, maybe it'll come back, you know, on Monday or after the weekend. And Kyle said, 12. He said, well, maybe it'll come back sooner. You know, I've earnestly been praying that the report would come back clear for you every night. Here I am worried about, you know, that's all. I can't even think straight. This 12-year-old just is earnestly praying. He's giving of his gifts and his talents. How easy would it be for us to overlook a child? But no. That report, by the way, came back clean. Praise the Lord, okay? That came back clean. Praise God, the second one, after all the work had been done to clean it. All right. My heart is full of you all. Okay, we're going on. All right, so they gave of what they had. They gave of their gifts and their talents. And then in verses 20 and 29, this has already been alluded to and already been shown. We've already talked about it, but they gave with grateful hearts. They gave willingly. Not under force or coercion. They came and they gave. And this beautiful description of all the things that they made and all the ways that they did, things that have just been described, and the way that they came and they gave willingly. Verse 29. All the Israelite men and women. And by the way, I love how it specifically calls out in this passage the men and the women. There's so many times when it just talks about, wow, and there were 5,000 men, or there were 2 million men, and you got to go, well, let's do some calculations, and we assume the women were there, and we assume the children were there, but in this passage, God is making it very, very clear that the whole community together was involved in this work. I love it. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. Willingly, free will. They did it with grateful hearts that they could be involved in the work of God. Willingly. It's wonderful. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Right? When we give whatever it is, again, time, talent, finances, whatever it is, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. As He so says through the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, he's talking about how we should give, the way in which we should give. It says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Well, what number? Should it be 10%? Or should it... What? There is no 10%. We recognize all we have is God's. And so whatever it is that the Lord puts on our heart, it says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. This is a part of our worship. We worship the Lord through giving of ourselves, offering our lives as living sacrifices to the Lord, offering all that we have, whether it's our intellect, whether it's our some of your muscles, not mine, whether it's of your, again, your knowledge. I love that. Again, you know, there's times when people need some help budgeting, and so we got folks who can help with budgeting. Sometimes people need some help raking yards. We got folks who can rake yards, right? We got folks who need help with whatever, right? And we come around together, and we give cheerfully, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and the Lord loves us. I know that as we go into this meeting, you know, I don't necessarily want to connect them, but I don't know. The Lord has put it together this way, so I don't want to ignore that. You know, it's a big number of the repairs that have to be done. But I'm trusting that the Lord will provide, and however that works out, I just ask that in any way that we give,
that we give cheerfully, willingly, not under compulsion, but joyfully. Let's pray. Forgive me, Lord, I do not like often talking about finances. You know that I get skittish around money. But you don't, and so I thank you for your word. I thank you for what this reveals about who you are and who your people are in you. Their love and their joyful giving to you, Lord. Even these people in this passage who were stiff-necked and who just very recently before this had used their resources very sinfully, that you, Almighty God, in your love and mercy, called them to yourself, and boy, do they respond. I thank you, Lord, for your love for us. I thank you, Lord, for your congregation here and the faithfulness and the love that they show to you and one another. Lord, continue to shine within us and draw us closer into you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.